Hello, everyone. Welcome back. You are back at Set for Success with your host, Richard Lannan, but you knew that already, didn't you? It was in the intro. They came up and said, hey, here's your host, Richard Lannan, Set for Success. And we're going to continue our journey to help you create a roadmap to change your business, career, and life. And we're going to do this through chatting with one person at a time to uncover people's lives, their business, their journey, their successes, to help you create the success that you deserve. And you do deserve to be successful. I want you to say that right now. I deserve to be successful. You do. And that's what we're all about, helping you create your success. You know, anything, if you tune into the show, you know I love quotes. I check them out on the internet all the time. Heck, you just type in the word, give me quotes, and you'll get tons of quotes. If you put on a topic, it's even better. So here's my quote for today, the Set for Success quote for today. Probably the biggest insight is that happiness is not just a place, but it's also a process. Happiness is going, it's an ongoing process to flesh challenge to, I just messed it up here. Let's go back on that one. I do allow my errors on the show. Probably the biggest insight is that happiness is not just a place, but it's also a process. Happiness is an ongoing process to flesh out challenges. And it takes the right attitudes and activities to continue to be happy. Wow, that was really difficult for me to do. And I don't know why today, but hey, we're going to go down that road anyway. So listen, that quote came from Ed Diener. That's how I'm going to pronounce it. Might be pronounced slightly differently. D-I-E-N-E-R. Ed is a psychology professor and author. And he's noted for his research over the last 30 years in happiness, temperament, and personality influences on people's well-being. I know he's looked at everything from the intrinsic part of the well-being to the extrinsic. So very interesting fellow indeed. So I got a question for you. Are you happy? Right now in your life or throughout your life, do you live a happy life? And I suspect research would tell you that happy people are healthy people. To me, that just sort of makes sense. I don't have to read a book to sort of know that. I think I sort of know that intrinsically. Ha ha, I got the word intrinsic in there. My guess is that if you walk down the street right now and you stop the person you said, are happy people healthy? They would say, yes, they are. And then if you ask them if they were happy, I wonder what they would say. But what makes the sense? What makes a person happy throughout their lives? And you know what? I don't always know that. Is it a song that repeats throughout your mind, like, don't worry, be happy? Or is it the choice or in a process of working towards being happy? Something else to work towards. I'm going to work towards being happy. That's a very interesting statement to make. Do you, from the various literature that I've read, that you can shift your mood by changing your thoughts and reframing the situation? It's sort of a little trick that I learned years ago. And it comes from the expression that's something like this. What you think, you feel. What you feel, you act. And what you act is the result you get. If that is the case, we can constantly shift our emotions through adjusting our thoughts, which would mean happiness or attitude towards happiness is a choice. But happiness may be something much, much more. Can it be? I'm not sure. I mean, if you think about it, or if you think about happiness, is it intrinsic to you or is it an extrinsic thing? Meaning simply, does it belong happiness based on some internal items or things or some external things? I guess the question really is, can you be happy? So here's what we're going to do today. You already figured out we're going to talk about happiness. So what we're going to do today is I gave the show some thought. I wondered who could come in and share their life's journey and work with us to talk about happiness, to discuss it, or who works in happiness and the whole idea of being positive. Someone knows something personally about happiness and positive psychology and is dedicated to sharing their life journey with others or with us today. As luck would have it, Susan Coos, it was available to come and chat with us today. She has a journey that into positive psychology that I think is very interesting, and I think we can learn from her. Susan, it's awesome to have you on Set for Success today.
It's great to be here. Thank
Don't you love me. What I just did to my monologue?
I love it. It's great.
Sort of like a repeat on my quote, couple of fluffs in my monologue speaking. Hey, listeners, it happens sometimes, but I'm going to choose to be happy about that.
Perfect.
I think it sort of works really well with what we're going to talk about today. So first things first, Susan, obviously I want to know a bit about yourself. I don't know you really. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about yourself and our listeners a little bit about yourself. Who is Susan?
Who's Susan Coos? Well, I've been a Winnipegger for a long time, since I was very young, but most people don't know that I was born in Iqaluit.
So there's Iqaluit. Where's Iqaluit?
Iqaluit used to be Frobisher Bay, Northwest Territories, and now it's, of course, Nunavut. So long ago.
Long time ago. How long did you live your life there?
Until I was just about, two.
Okay,
just
a little bit. So yeah, you were born there 2 years.
I arrived. I landed.
I know you have great memories.
A few. Not very many, but a couple, I guess. And then my parents moved to the balmy area, very warm area of Winnipeg, where I've been ever since, and I love it here. So I'm quite, as you would say, happy here.
So you're a Winnipegger true and true.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
All right. Mm-hmm. So what is your background? Like, you know, you ended up in front of me having this dialogue today, and mm-hmm. I know we're going to talk about happiness and or positive psychology. I was reading up a little bit on your background. But tell a little bit more about yourself. Like, what is your sort of history in terms of you've been in Winnipeg, you've been working here for a while prior to getting to your field of positive psychology. What was your life like? What did you do?
Prior to positive psychology, I actually had a degree in business, commerce degree, and I worked in that field for quite a while. And I think I had this notion that it's a common notion that when I became successful and earned a lot of money and I had a situation or career that I would then become happier, and I was always striving for that. And it was kind of an interesting thing because since then I've learned that that's actually the opposite case. But earlier on in my career, I was introduced to the idea of personality type and some of the psychology aspects that we can bring into business and to becoming more successful, and I was hooked. Mm. I just loved that area of study and learning. So I started to, in my spare time, start to continue to study that. And that's probably my first introduction to that type of field. But I did work in large corporations in this city for quite some time. I've worked in Crown Corporations. I've worked in small mom and pop family businesses. I've done a lot of different things.
Yeah. It's interesting you would say that. I'm a bit of a like that too. I've done all sorts of different stuff, and I think it surprises people sometimes when you get into conversations with them. You can talk their language, right? You can talk because you got some experience in the field.
Yes.
Whether it's, I don't know, I can just pick industry, the finance industry, the auto industry, the construction industry. Right? Yeah. Yeah, and suddenly you're into these dialogues, and they look at you, and they sort of wonder about you a little bit, right? They think, because they've spent their life in it, right, one field. So you've been a little bit more experimenting with all sorts of fields.
Yes, well, I'm a curious person.
Okay.
And I like to try different things. I don't like to be bored.
Okay.
So if I'm bored, I'm doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, repetition.
You know, I just,
Operational work is not good for you.
No. Definitely not.
That sort of thing. We started talking a little bit about happiness, positive psychology is what I'm going to call it. So I think what we'll do is when we come back, we'll start to define what is positive psychology.
Sure.
So this is Richard Lannan for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Everyone, welcome back. It's Richard Lannan. You knew that already. And I'm hanging out with a person that's into positive psychology, Susan. Susan, just before the break, I just thought, you know what? We need to define this thing, right? What is positive psychology?
Mm-hmm, for sure. Positive psychology essentially is a little bit different than traditional psychology, which usually studies things such as anxiety, depression, psychosis, that sort of thing. But in positive psychology, what we've done is we've put the focus on what's right with people, what is going well with them. So we'll study things like happiness, joy, strengths. We'll study resiliency, gratitude, those types of topics.
So basically, just like it says, it's sort of like looking at the things. You use the term what's right with people, which I thought was actually quite fascinating. Mm-hmm. Because how do we actually, know what's right with people? So that somewhere along the way, did somebody make a list that these are things that are all really good things for people to have? Is that sort of what we're saying here?
Well, I guess that's an interesting question. It's more the looking at sort of what's the top high side of well-being. So, people are flourishing and they're doing really well in life. Well, what is it that they're doing that the rest of us aren't doing? How can we look at what's going on in their world and bring more of that to our world, or help them to shift their spot to being flourishing even more so? So if they're at the middle of the neutral stage, well, why not be at the top of the scale?
Yeah, and whatever the changes that might be. That's an interesting point that you just made. If they're at the middle of the neutral scale, then why can't they be at the top? What is the middle neutral scale? Well, I'm going to ask you all sorts of questions here.
Sure. So. it's doing okay, I guess, right? It's not languishing, so it's not being in a negative illness phase, perhaps. It's neutral, but why would we not want to be at the top side and being at the very best that we can be? Why would we not want to be flourishing and just at the top.
So what does flourishing in life look like?
What does it look like?
Yeah.
Looks like someone who's, you know, happy, healthy, managing to cope through the day because they can deal with the stress that's there. They have the tools to cope with that. They're bouncing back quickly. So when they encounter something like we all do, you know, they're bouncing back fairly quickly from that, and they're not sitting with it and stewing with it, so to speak. It's someone who is... you know, got a sense of well-being in all areas of their life. So their work is going well, their relationships are going well, their physical health is doing really well. Essentially, all of those areas of life are thriving.
So it's interesting you would say that, because to me, it's almost like it's easier to talk about the negative aspects of life.
It is.
Right? And it's a bit more harder to talk about the positive aspects of life.
Yes.
It's maybe it's, even though people don't like to talk about it, but maybe it's easier to talk about depression, or it's easier to talk about crime as opposed to no crime. You know, mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Does that sound, is it a difficult topic to sort of communicate and relate to people, I guess is what I'm asking.
I think it is. We tend to naturally, as human beings, we tend to focus on the negative. We're actually hardwired to do that because it kept us from being eaten by the tigers long ago. So when we pay attention to the negativity and we zero in on that. It is definitely much more difficult in a sense to focus on the positive and stay there and keep looking at that as opposed to the fascination of the negative.
With the fascination of the negative, do you think that some people are just naturally wired to be happy? Like you've been studying this field, so mm-hmm. That's why I'm asking these questions, because I'm asking you stuff that I don't know. I don't
sure.
know the answers to it. Are some people just naturally wired to be more happier than other people?
In fact, they are.
Okay.
That would be the case. When we look at happiness, and we've done some studies on, you know, what makes people happy, what is the difference between someone who is and someone who isn't, what we've found is that approximately about 50% of our happiness baseline, if you want to call it that, is made up of our biological makeup. So what we get genetically from mom and dad. So you're right, we are predisposed to be wired to be either happy or less happy. But it doesn't mean we have to stay there. It just means that that's part of the makeup. About 10% of that is about our circumstances. So what happens with us? What is the situation that we're in? Whether we just got let go from a job or whether we just won the lottery, that would be...
Yeah.
That would impact
I'd go with the lottery one. But anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then about 40% we have control over. So our thoughts, words, and actions can step into that. So we really have a huge impact or a huge opportunity to impact our happiness levels, and we can shift those over time by doing different things.
Can you give an example of something that you could do to shift your happiness over time?
Well, one of the things that is a difference between someone who's very unhappy and very happy is their social supports. So just developing your relationship with others, spending more time in the company of others and focusing on that is one thing you can do.
When you're talking about focusing on time with others, I always like to get a little bit more specific on this. So you focus on time with others with people that share similar thoughts and interests? Or are you focusing on time with others that are just family members? Like why are you focusing on time with others?
Well, you it's because we're human beings who need to be in a community and need to have relationships. We're not meant to be isolated and on our own and just spending time, you know, watching TV or just on our iPhones.
Or whatever it might be, right?
Whatever it is.
Whatever technology device.
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting. You would bring back my studies in university back in the day when we talked about social and being a social animal.
Mm-hmm.
Studies in sociology, social psychology. It sounds to me like there might be actually some truth to that.
There's definitely truth to it. So actually they say people who, whether you're introverted or extroverted, if you act in an extroverted way, you actually tend to have a higher level of happiness and well-being. And it's merely of getting out there and putting yourself out there, meeting people, engaging conversation, having eyeball-to-eyeball contact, having, you know, a laugh, a good joke with others. It's important to our health and well-being for sure.
Okay. So what we'll do is I think we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about positive psychology and how you can use the teachings in positive psychology or the process of positive psychology to help you live a more happier life. This is Richard Landon for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm hanging out with Susan Coos?
Yes.
Am I doing a little bit too long with the O's?
Or sure, it sounds good.
Yeah, I like it that way. Well, you told me to rhyme it with the word booze. And you were talking about positive psychology, but to go with coos. So when I say the word booze, I elongate it.
Right? It always brings coos. A smile.
And brings a smile. Okay, I'm not suggesting that you get into booze, dear listeners, okay, to create a smile. I think you might be able to create some happiness without your glass of wine or your beer, but I suspect if you really enjoy it and you just have one, it might not be so bad. This is my responsible point of my show here. A responsible community message from Richard Landon, Set for Success. So during the break, we were chatting a little bit about toolkits. Okay. We always hear toolkits for most professions or most things. Given what I was reading, I figured there had to be like a positive psychology toolkit that you're working with. I guess the question would be is, you know, what is that toolkit? And what are some of the things people can do to live a more happier life? Maybe we'll tie it into some of your own learning too, because you got into this career over time, and I suspect there was a reason why you got into it. Maybe I should step back the question. Were you always happy in your life?
No, I wouldn't. Okay. I would say that I wasn't always happy. I think I had the focus, like many people do, is focusing on the negative. What can I improve? What's the weakness? What can I, you know, what patches can I put here? What can I change? Because I need to change to make it better and better. I didn't focus on what was right with me. I focused on what I thought was wrong.
Okay. So that's a very interesting. So that's the shift in thinking. So you've mentioned this twice now. Mm-hmm. We focus on what's wrong with us and not right with us.
Yes.
Or you said, I didn't focus on what was right with me. I focused on what was wrong. Now that's interesting. Okay. We're going to talk about toolkit in a little bit, but I got to go on a bit of a tangent here. That brings me into the whole area of professional side of work world and performance management.
Sure.
Because I suspect that you've had this experience because you mentioned you were corporations and different businesses and stuff like this. But I've always thought that performance management often focuses on the negativity of people, right? It focuses on not so much what you're doing right, but what you're doing wrong. And then asks you to do improvements. And so you got to go take some course because you need to be fixed. And I don't know if that's always the case. What are your thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because when we work with strengths in the workplace, and you're right, performance management, a lot of times the research has shown that there's less focus from the supervisory standpoint on what's right with people versus what they need to fix, what's going wrong with them. And what we end up seeing is that when we focus on the strengths of the individual, that the weaker areas actually rise up. Mm. So it's very rare that you have to address the weaker areas, because when you focus on the strength side of things, the rest seems to come up with it. I mean, there's the odd time where there's a really serious issue that you need to address, but most of the time, if you focus on the strengths, everything else will rise, definitely.
Oh, well, that's good. That's actually good to know. So maybe we should change some of those systems and our approaches to evaluating people.
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. There's an opportunity for you. We were talking about the toolkit. What would you say the toolkit within positive psychology is, like that people should be looking to apply?
Well, there's a few things in the toolkit that just identifies a few points that you can look at, some real quick things. So, for example, you can just start your interactions on a positive note, so you're not going right to the negative, right to the critical side of things, right to the what can we do better, but what went well, what's going well right now. So just infusing that quick positivity in interactions with your colleagues, into your day, whatever you can do to start to what we call broaden and build the positivity in your situation in your day is really going to be very helpful. So that's a quick thing that you can do. The other thing that you can also do is learn what your personal strengths are and use those more often at work and in your home life as well, but definitely use them more at work, because it actually helps us to be more productive, more engaged in work. We're definitely enjoying our time better. We're just having a better time in the work situation, but also we're performing better. So overall, the organization is being uplifted as well at the same time.
How does that impact your personal life, though?
The strength side of things?
Yeah.
Well, one thing that I've... Excuse me. One thing that I've personally done is to learn the strengths of my family members as well.
Okay.
And my husband as well. So what you can do is, when you know their strengths, to focus and comment on that and help them to see what their own strengths are and recognize that. So when you comment, oh, what you did was, that was really kind. I appreciate that. You know, one of my husband's strengths is kindness. Mm. So when I mention that, you know, you just see them light up a little bit, the people in your world. He has a great sense of humor. So I'll bring up times when I see him using his sense of humor in a wonderful way and say, oh, you know, I just really love the way you, you know, do that Instagram post. You have just a wonderful way of words, or, you know, you just lightened up that situation. You just have such a funny way of putting things. To me, that is celebrating his strengths, but also I can see, you know, him starting to tap into what's going well with him. And it just actually improves the relationship that much more. So
one of the things my wife and I did some years ago was we did the assessments on your love languages.
Yes.
And so you're familiar with that? And that was very interesting because what we decided to do was we do our love languages, but we wouldn't share it with each other.
Oh, okay.
Right? But the others had to figure out what the other's love language was, right? And then we went out on a date where we both had to support each other's love languages on the date.
Excellent.
And it was very fascinating. It was very, very fascinating to do that, because then it opened up a whole dialogue and everything, but then it became an evening of really addressing each other's love languages.
Yes.
And I have to admit, it was like a fun evening. It turned out to be, you know, I'm a little bit of a skeptic sometimes. I don't mind saying I'd be a typical male, if you wish. I can be a little bit skeptic when it comes to some of these things. But at the same point in time, it worked really well, you know. And so just, it sounds to me like part of this positive psychology side that you're talking about. So just understanding those traits in other people and what their natural mm-hmm. way of accepting. When that's, by the way, for the listeners, love language is generally about a person's natural self in terms of what they need to be filled, if you wish, and being able to address it, whether it's a child or a significant other or whatever it might be. So I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah.
So have you done stuff like that yourself? Because you started talking about yourself and your
excuse me. I have used the love languages as well, and you know, we've gone through that as well. And it's interesting because I find again that when you're expressing your language to someone else, you naturally go to the one that is your love language. And you have to actually work a little harder to step into somebody else's that's different, especially if it's not one that you use very often. It's fun.
That's an interesting point too, because that goes to the whole idea of profiling and being a chameleon. And I don't mind sharing the story. Years ago, I did, I was with a large corporation. They brought us through profiling. And profiling ourselves, profiling other people and everything. But the big thing that I learned from all of that was that when it comes to communication and working with other people, you have to be able to step into their shoes.
Yes.
So you have to sort of let your natural self go and then literally embrace who they are to be able to effectively create that communication. It sort of sounds to me like you're talking a bit about something like that.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah. The interesting things that I like about strengths, for example, and when we talk about profiling, is that is an area that you can improve and change. So they're very fluid and movable. So it's not like you have this profile and these are strengths and that's it. But you can actually affect and make a change. So for example, if bravery is a lower strength, or self-regulation, which they tend to be, especially self-regulation tends to be a lower strength, you can focus on that and improve that and start to see that actually climbing up. So it's interesting that you can make some significant changes in there.
And over time. Right? You know, because
yes,
you and I are far enough in our lives now that we could easily say that who we were when we were 25 is not who we are today.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
The core is there, but we have experience and then we've probably built on some of our own natural strengths and things. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take a short break.
Sure.
And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation about positive psychology and really how somebody can actually embrace the use of positive psychology and get assistance in terms of maybe being happier in their life.
For sure.
This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm hanging out with Susan Coos.
Yes.
And we're going to elongate that. Coos. I think you say it a little bit tighter, right? You say Coos.
Coos.
Coos. You do
Coos.
Say Coos.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to watch what you send people, right? Just pronounce it like this. And I said, sure. So listen, we've been talking about positive psychology. And I'm fascinated by the field because I like one of the things that you said earlier on around how we tend to maybe naturally focus on the negatives. And I think in our now talking to you, because I'm partly thinking out loud and I'm thinking about society and media. And when I say media, standard traditional media, social media and everything, you see a lot of sort of negative speak and all important topics, though. I would never say, you know, we shouldn't talk about this, or we shouldn't talk about that, because a lot of it can be important topics. But how often do you see positive psychology as being the top topic? You're right, in general in the community, you know? So that's sort of, that was my thought on that one. But I can't help but you got onto this or into this field because of your own life journey. So maybe you could just tell us a little bit about your own life journey as you sort of moved into why positive psychology and give us some examples.
Sure. I would say that I probably got into positive psychology because I was surrounded by a lot of negativity in my early days.
Okay.
And I think by genetics partly, and I think by just the surroundings. So it became a learned habit to focus on the negative.
So that's like that 10% circumstances that you were talking about earlier, right?
Well, this is partly the 50% genetics, and
okay.
It's also partly the circumstances are more of a temporary nature in the sense, but it was probably more of an active, you know, it was the activities that I was doing. I was thinking a little bit more negatively. I was focusing on stuff. I was maybe speaking more negatively. And I was taking on the habits that I was seeing around me. So I learned that.
Okay. And it's interesting you say thinking, because self-thought probably has a lot to do with negativity. Or negativity has a lot to do with, I don't know. How do you express that?
Well, are you talking about rumination, when we kind of go round and round and round about the negative stuff and we overanalyze until we...
No, go ahead. What is rumination? Like, just talk about rumination.
Yeah, it's exactly that. You're actually focusing on the negative, because it's negative rumination, and you kind of go round and round and round, and you go over the situation over and over again, and you look at, well, I could have done this, I could have done that. Why did she say this? Why did he say that? What were they thinking? What was behind that? And you just kind of think about it and analyze it to death. And of course, what you're doing is you're actually bringing in more of the physiological negative stuff that goes along with that, and you're making yourself feel worse, and your well-being is tanking, and your stress is increasing, and you're becoming less healthy and grumpier and everything else that goes with that. So
how do you get rid of, you call it rumination?
Rumination,
now I'm
yeah.
into a word that I never use, rumination. How do you get away from rumination?
Well, the first thing you have to do is recognize that you do it.
Okay, fair
right?
enough.
And so when you feel yourself getting into that spot, you stop.
Yeah.
Stop right there, however it is. And I actually used to use an elastic band that I'd put around my wrist, and I'd snap it. And trust me, that hurts. That hurts when you snap that. So it's a wake up.
In the right spot. Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely. So it's a bit of a wake up spot where you go, oh, okay, wait a minute. I've got to pause here. I'm going down a path that's not good for me. And then I have to switch. Then you have to switch and start to think about something different, go to something positive, put on some good music, whatever it happens to be. Just change that, you know, channel in your head, so to speak. But also recognize that there are things, there are situations, there are people, there are times that might trigger you to go into those ruminations. So try to change that up. Try to avoid those things. Do something different. Just change it so that your habit, you're changing the habit, you're changing the pathways in the brain to something that's going to be more beneficial to you, because it's a habit and it requires changing, using skills that's going to take you down a different path. So all of these tools that we're talking about from the happiness side of things are skills that can be learned, so that people can learn to be more positive, happier, more engaged in life, more focused on the things that are going to bring wellness and to uplift them. So definitely.
It's interesting we bring up the rumination thing, because one part was sort of overanalyzing and focusing on the negative. But the other part of that sounds like to me, and I'm just thinking as I'm going along, is that you might have certain statements that you say to yourself over and over again. Right, and they're just weird statements. Like, I shouldn't say weird statements, but they're just negative statements. You're running up the stairs, and for some reason, the statement goes through your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're doing something else, and the statement goes through your mind, and you might even repeat it verbally, like it comes out of your words. You're literally talking to yourself. I mean, is that part of give me that word again.
Rumination.
Or is that just sort of a sequencing of phrases that you've learned that may not be healthy for you?
Well, it's both, right?
Okay.
Because rumination is that habit of negative thinking and negative thought patterns. But of course, we learn maybe we've heard a phrase from someone before, so we repeat it in our head because somehow we think this is true, or we repeat something to ourselves. But yeah, if you can look at the evidence for that and say, you know what, there might be some evidence for this negative thought, but there's just as much or more evidence for the opposite positive thought. So how can I switch that? How can I replace those thoughts?
So that's a really interesting thing. So let's just take it from the perspective of not overanalyzing something, but let's just take it from the perspective that you have a statement that you're always saying to yourself. Just one statement, right?
Sure.
And it's a negative statement. So how would you go and potentially take that negative statement out of your psyche, is that a proper word, right? And get rid of it and replace it with maybe a more positive statement that you could be making.
Yeah. Right? I think there's a quick step process. First of all, you recognize the belief, this limiting belief that you have, and it's a statement that you have. So I like to write, so I write it down. And then look a little bit as to where you might have learned that or where it first came up. Did it come up in childhood? Was it something that someone said to you? Did you hear it at school from some other source?
Sure.
Then thinking about, you know, what would it be like if I was free from this thought? How would this change my world? So just starting to imagine and envision a completely different experience if you weren't thinking or believing that thought. And then to go through the process of flipping it around. Well, what is the opposite and where's the evidence for the opposite? So for example, if you're thinking, well, I'm terrible at public speaking. I'll never be able to public speak. Well, okay, there are times when maybe you've crashed and burned when you're doing some public speaking, but there are probably some times when you did great public speaking and you're actually skilled at that. So how can you start to then flip that and start to focus more on the positive things and diffuse that negative rumination statement?
Diffuse it. And I think why I bring that one up is that I think often we can just have little simple statements that if you look at them, they're negative, right? So I'm a klutz. Okay, I'm not actually a klutz. That was just the one that popped in my mind.
Yeah.
But I've heard people say that all the time. I've heard people use it a lot in certain circumstances, right?
Yeah.
And they walk in the tables, or if they're going to drop something, they drop something or whatever. And I can't help but, I know I've said, I think you're creating a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Absolutely.
Right? You're creating something because you keep saying that you are this, right? Well, what if you change that with something? And I'm using that statement as an example because to a certain degree, it almost sounds funny, but at a certain degree, it's not funny, right? But I think that's what you mean. Like, if you have like a phrase that you use, you could work on eliminating that from your self-talk.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right. Like, it is a self-fulfilling prophecy because this is how we envision ourselves. We start to look for things that support whatever phrases we're using. So if we think we're klutz, well, then we're probably just naturally going to somehow trip up on things. But you can look at it and say, well, I probably need a new pair of shoes, or maybe I tripped on the carpet because it was sticking up, or just, hey, that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it happens.
Or I sometimes wonder, is this just things like this, right? When you were a kid, you fell down and hurt yourself a lot and somebody said you're a klutz, versus another child fell and hurt themselves and the parents said to them, oh, you're just playing hard. That's just part of the game. You know, it's just like a different view of the world. You skin your knee and you're a klutz. You skin your knee, you were just playing hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's that label, right?
Where that's
you're
that label,
a
right?
This.
And and then maybe that creates, that's what I was wondering about.
Yeah, true.
Somebody want to get in touch with you and talk a bit more about positive psychology. How would they go about doing that?
Probably the best way, you can go to my website, which is beingpukka, beingpukka.com, or send me an email, susan@beingpukka.com. That's probably the quickest way to reach me.
Awesome. Susan, thank you very much for being on the show today. You're an awesome guest. I really appreciate it. For the audience, for you all tuned in and listening, if you got any questions, a thought, or an idea about today's show, send me an email, richard@setforsuccess.ca. I do want you to remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.